I'd like to introduce the one who's bringing our message. Someone I've known longer than this building is standing. Someone that I've worked with.
Let's see if I can not spill this.
Do not spill.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless Alan. Lord, with your words, give him words that he doesn't even have.
Amen.
If there's any question or maybe there's something he has to jump from here to here, Lord, give him that word, give him that understanding. And Lord, give us ears to hear that we can see, hear, and do what is being said. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, look at my notes. You see there's a lot. Am I on? Or am I muted? Light's on.
Okay. Is it green?
Yes.
You're good.
And move this out of the way so we don't get back feed or? Is it close enough? Okay. Okay. Well, yes. Good morning. It's interesting in our leadership meetings, we go over our schedules for the next month, year, whatever. And I don't totally remember when, I guess it was probably spring, when it came up that we needed a speaker for today. And Dave had already done, you were Memorial Day, and I didn't say anything, but he quickly popped up and said, well, Alan's turn, so we volunteer each other there, so Jason, be careful. Yes, so it's something I was looking over my past messages, and the topics, there was a purpose, identity, and being unique. And of course there were scriptures with each one and everything. And As I said, I've had months to figure this out. I don't have any idea how Joel does this every week. I guess he get used to it, but I don't know. So then I'm thinking, okay, we have Halloween just 2-3 days ago, we got election 3 days from now, and depending on how you're thinking, both of them can be pretty scary. So I didn't know how much I wanted to step on either one of them. So of course, doing some praying, and yeah, when I have months, you think, well, you got months to do this. Well, that, it's just that last week, all of a sudden things start changing a little bit. So, as it's in your bulletin or wherever, I named this the Watchman, which we will get to actually towards the end of everything. But the first, and this is Faith, wherever you're at, thank you for sharing this morning. Because my first question is, and everyone should raise their hand on this, have you ever had someone to be an answer to prayer for you or you for them? Definitely. Unless you proverbially, however you say that word, live under a rock, you are involved with other people, one way, shape, or form. Hopefully, positively. So, answers to prayer, they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes because God is not one size fits all. What he does for me won't do for Dave, Steve, Pat, Linda, all around. Even if it's the exact same situation, we are all different. So wanted to tell a couple stories here. First one, as most of you know, Linda's just coming off 6.5 weeks of rehab, or not therapy, with her knee. So we were at home, watching here and beforehand, watching different ministries. So I think it was pretty close to a month, one of the first weeks, we were listening to David Jeremiah. And he typically starts out with a little story and then builds on it. And I really like this one. So that, it started out, now I don't know any names or anything, this is just what I remembered. There was his mother and daughter. They kind of moved to an area that they were new in this area, the school district and everything, settling in. Daughter's going to school, all this. Well, one day, daughter comes home, she's sick. School kids, they take turns, they pass all the stuff all around. But mom is, of course, concerned. My daughter's sick, what do I do? I'm kind of new here. So she calls the doctor, said, oh yes, this bug is pretty common, it's going around. Go to your pharmacy, get this particular thing, drug, medication, she's gonna be fine. So the daughter is old enough to leave on her own. So she's not like a 3-year-old or something, she's old enough. Does mom run out, get this meds and come back? She goes to the local pharmacy, goes in, gets the stuff, comes out. She locked her keys in the car. Now she's really freaking. Lord, what do I do? Well, she calls her daughter. And now again, the daughter's not really young, but she's not driving or anything. But for whatever reason, the daughter says, find a metal coat hanger. So what am I going to do with it? Fine, whatever. So they hang up. She goes back in the pharmacy. They look around. I need a metal coat hanger. They find one. Okay, she comes back out to the car. Okay, Lord, what do I do with this? Now, I remember cars that didn't have all the power or everything. You could weed it in there, but you got to know what you're doing. It's not just, so she prays, and this guy walks over to her, says, excuse me, ma'am, you look like you're kind of nervous, whatever. She says, yeah, my daughter's sick at home, came here for the meds, locked the keys in the car, don't know what to do. Takes the coat hanger, winds it up, pops it in, unlocks the car, everything's fine. She prays, Lord, thank you for bringing this good man to me to help me get into my car. And he says, that's great, but let me tell you, just got out of jail this morning. And she looks at him, now not too sure, and then she prays again. Lord, thank you for sending me a professional. That's an answer to prayer. So, you don't know. Here's another little one. This, and I ask Linda's permission for this. most of you know I'm a deer hunter. Well, about a month ago, Al and I, Linda's husband, were upstate hunting. And we're having a great, normal stuff. You go out mornings, afternoons, everything's fine. So we go from Monday to Wednesday. So there we are. Tuesday, do we want to get up to go out? Al says, I don't think I'm going to. I say, okay, fine. If I wake up, I'll go out. And I just, that was my prayer. So, Lord, it's in your hands, you guide me, whatever. So, we both go to sleep, got our own bedrooms and everything. I did wake up, whatever time it was, 10 to 6 or something. I'm in my room changing, getting ready to go out deer hunting. Excited, seeing what's going to happen. Oh, 10, 15 minutes into it, something like that, I hear Al talking. Now, he does get up early, so it wasn't a big deal. All of a sudden, he knocks and comes in. Get dressed quick. Linda fell off her treadmill and thinks she broke her ankle.
It's your fault.
So, of course, I start getting ready, and then it hit me. Lord, you knew I wasn't going to go deer hunting. Not that we wanted this, but as I whack things here, but that was an answer to prayer, not necessarily the way any of us wanted it. So, with all that, so let's look at a couple scriptures here. First one, and these are very close to the same. First is Luke 8, 38 and 39. Okay. Now, if I'm not going to read the whole thing here. This is the demon-possessed man. They called him Legion. This is towards the end of the story. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home, tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Okay. Next verse, just different gospel, Mark 5, 18 to 28. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." So the man went away and begged, began to tell in the Decapolis, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
How much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Now that, two examples, two versions of the same thing, that was an answer to prayer. Now it was something that he wanted to stay with Jesus. I mean, somebody just touched you that immensely, you want to hang with that person. You want to be more involved. But Jesus, no, what I want, what you need, and what they need is for you to go and tell everybody what has happened, what Jesus what did for you, how he answered your prayer, not to keep it to yourself, to go out into the world. And that's what he did. And to my knowledge, there's no other mention of this person in the scripture. Did look at it a little bit, but that was one time where Jesus didn't tell them to be quiet or go be anointed or this, or there were various times where the demons, before they cast out, started declaring who he was, and he silenced them, said, "Be quiet," because he doesn't want to be associated with the demons. So it was something that all of these were different variations of answers to prayer of similar situations. Now, in all of these things, there were different warnings. There were different things that came about ahead of time. I don't care what it is, if you think back, typically there's something maybe that could have been changed or there, excuse me, I got to cough that way. So a warning. So we're going to look at different things, different ways, different things that are symbols of warnings. A lighthouse. Not just a pretty thing because you want to go and, oh, there's 85 lighthouses on the East Coast. I want to see every one of them. No, it's there for a reason. There's ships, boats come in, the dead of night, fog, whatever. That light, more so in the past than with radar and everything now, but that light was a warning, hey, you're getting close to shore. You're getting close to rocks. You're getting close to something. You got to steer away. So they weren't made just for a something pretty on a coast. They were a warning. Now, excuse me, I'm starting to warm up with this, but it's still. a deer hunter. I'm a deer hunter. Charlie, I know you're a deer hunter. Hunter's a hunter. Okay. This is something, white-tailed deer, and probably other deer. You're watching them, you're doing whatever. Once their tail goes up, forget it. That is the signal for any deer in the next 3 miles, get out of there, because something's not right. So I'm hoping to see him without his tail up, because that is the warning sign that God implanted or whatever in at least a deer. I'm sure other animals, very similar. Okay, something a little different. Something we've all gone past, a roadside flag person. Okay. How many of us love driving on the rush? Oh, there's a work zone. And here's this person out there. Okay, it's a one-way traffic. You got to wait. And it always seems like there's 14 tractor trailers coming in the other way that you have to wait for. But they're doing that because there's construction. So there's people working there, and they have to be safe. Or there's some kind of accident or something that will keep you safe by being diverted around. So it's a warning sign. So that are three simple warning signs. Boy, who wants to talk? I got about 5 minutes left and 20 minutes of time. Steve, you got anything to share? I'm sorry, Steve. I really like talking with Steve. Stretch it. Yeah. Well, one thing, I have to mute this and blow my nose. I don't want to keep sniffling. So that'll take about... Okay, here's another little story. I have time, so. again, a hunting camp story. Oh, I'm not sure, 12, 13 years ago. At the time it was just Peyton, and I'm not sure if Mackenzie was even there yet. Linda and I, we go up to camp, which there's an archery festival in Forksville. Mid-September. So we'd go up, spend the weekend up there. And it was Sunday, so we're getting ready to pack up and leave. And I'm out on the front porch. Yes, I noticed it. That my. Okay. How do I fix this? Don't worry about it. Okay, so we're out on the, Peyton and I are on the front porch. And now it's a hunting camp. So we have a railing and everything there, but it's open steps and everything. It's maybe as we all get older, we'll have to put guardrails up for ourselves, but right now, what's that? Yes, definitely. So I'm standing there and I'm holding her hand, so because we got a lot of land, she could go run and whatever. She doesn't want me to hold her hand. Probably still doesn't, but so there we are. And it's not like I want to squash her hand. I just want to hold it secure enough so she stays there. Well, she must have learned that release trick that I teach, a little advertisement for the self-defense class here. She pulls out of my hand, jerks herself, falls off the step right on this huge rock that we use for a step, face first, right down. So obviously she was fine, but it was something of a warning sign. Okay, I was a young grandfather and learning how to take care of, well, granddaughter at that point. Obviously there's more now. So with that, another little story here. I'm at actually our neighbor's house 2 weeks ago. And walk in and they have, what's it called, a bi-level, when you have two flights of stairs in the middle. I'm at the top of the steps and talking with them. They have twin girls. I'm not sure if they're quite 2 years old or right around 2 years old. So they're running all over the place, doing all kinds of stuff. So it's something that my learning with Peyton, yeah, I'm just at the top of the steps, we're talking about some situations and stuff. And I look down and right there is one of these little girls, 4 inches from the top of the steps. So I instantly, I don't want to reach down, throw it, whatever. So I just, just put my hand down and kind of guide her. And mom's, she gets her out of the way. So our lives are full of warning signs. And these are all in the physical. Yeah. Driving here, red light, stop signs. Yeah, turn signals, warning signs. Now we're going to talk a spiritual warning sign. And, okay, where am I at? Yes. So we are going to go to Ezekiel 33:1-6. Now, I had to read through this a couple of times because it kind of, bounces around a little bit. I'll try to get it right. Well, you got it right there. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against a land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make them their watchmen, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have been he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Now that can be a heavy verse if you think about it. We all have responsibilities. Now, watchmen, I was not in the military. I know at least Dave, Bob, I'm not sure, anyone else. Charlie, so you had people on post, am I saying this right? Yeah, a lookout, someone, a lead person, they are in charge of, hey, letting someone know something's happening. It's their job to get that back to the group. Am I correct on that? That if someone's on post or a lookout, that's their job. So if they don't do their job, and all of a sudden the enemy swoops in, the person on the lookout, it was their responsibility, and the blood of those people is on that person's head. I know this is heavy, but am I not correct? Again, not being in the military, so I don't want to assume any of this stuff. So, our own responsibilities. We have all kinds of things around us. Again, not wanting to get into the election, but all kinds of stuff going on as far as how we can be a lookout. Here is, again, some in the natural, but at the same time, we are all, again, watchmen in the areas where we are. Many of you know that our grandparents owned a hotel. If you read my testimony, I think some stuff's in that. So one of the things that I lived there when I was two and lived down the street, so I grew up there a lot, saw all kinds of great things. Had school teachers that sitting there drinking, talking, whatever. Great upbringing. But something I remember, my grandfather, being in the bar business, would be aware of, hey, this person drank too much. There's no way he should be driving. And I remember one person did this kind of frequently. But he was aware of the situation. He was a watchman for his business. He would not let that person drive. God bless you. So there were times when I'd help them out to the car. As I got older, I would drive them home, or somebody would follow with their car. These are real life things that very possibly saved lives, because my grandfather was aware of this. And at the time, this is smart. You know, this guy can barely walk, let alone driving. So that, as a kid, I remember that. So in our spiritual lives, I want you to, how to be a spiritual watchman. That is so much more important. Not that the physical doesn't have earth-shattering events, but a spiritual watchman. You hear something, you see something. Now, that doesn't make you a custody of that person. Well, there are certain things, okay, you saved my life, now I am indebted to you for the rest of my days, or whatever that phrase is. No. When you see something out in the world, you hear something out in the world, if you keep quiet, what does that say? We're going to be done soon. So it's something that our spiritual watchmen, Faith making that call to the prison. She probably never thought of the phrase a watchman, but that's what you were doing, weren't you? You were thinking after your daughter. Just witnessing that. Yeah. I was talking, Linda and I, on the way here, I was sharing with somebody on Facebook, which all kinds of fun there, but trying to say truth I may never meet this person. I have no idea where they live. It doesn't matter. Speaking truth to people's lives is a spiritual watchman. Sharing your testimony, as with the Legion, is a spiritual watchman. We are all spiritual watchmen. We just have to accept it and learn and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. So as we sing this last song, I want you to think about that.